Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Fringe. Only on the Vibe Network. Every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Good evening, guys, and welcome to the Paranormal Fringe. Tonight we are going to be speaking about the legend of Slender Man. And with me in studio is my host, Ryan. I'm going to go ahead and say hi, Ryan. Hey, how are you?
Doing? I'm doing well.
Good. Good. You survived after our investigation last night?
Yeah, just barely.
Good. Glad to hear it. Like I said, we're going to go ahead and discuss the legend of Slender Man tonight. And as many of you know, this is supposedly a legend that was started back in 2010. According to what research Ryan and I have done, this started as a kind of a
It was a fictional story that was put on a website that was meant to have people tell stories.
Right, right. And I'm trying to find the name of
the site?
Yeah, the site that started this.
Creepypasta
Wiki. I had it
here
pulled up. Yeah, that was part of it.
Oh, I've got the forum there somewhere here.
Yeah, it started out as...
it was on the Something Awful forums.
That's right. That's what I was trying to think of. Something Awful forum. Basically, what this gentleman did was he made... Photoshopped this creature with the long arms, the white featureless face, the suit, into some pictures of children. And based on this picture... They started a creepypasta episode, and then they also went on to create a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And the video games, I think, have been around since 2010 as well. The reason we're talking about this tonight is because in the paranormal, as you all know, there are legends, there are myths, there are crypto animals such as Bigfoot, there's legends like Mothman, Black-Eyed Children, and this is just another one of those legends that was started, and for some reason the children of this generation have just embraced it to the point of an attempted murder case. This happened in rural Wisconsin, I believe, where two 12-year-old girls allegedly stabbed a friend of theirs 19 times and left her to die in the forest. I know you did some research on this as well, Ryan. Did you want to kind of let me know, kind of tell the listeners what you found out about this case?
Well, it all started from, it happened in Waukesha County, Wisconsin. And somehow these girls... Two girls took to the Slender Man, mythos or character or whatever you want to call it, and they took it just extremely far, and there's nothing from this story from beginning to end that isn't absolutely strange. The fact that the character took off the way that it did, just from being a just made-up fictional character to people starting to believe in it, and then, these two girls that just, they were obsessed with this character and then decided that, okay, to appease Slender Man, well, we're going to have to make a sacrifice. And their sacrifice was taking another friend of theirs out and stabbing her to death out in the woods.
Yeah, absolutely. They made every attempt to end her life. The reason they wanted to end her life is because they felt that Slender Man would see them in his good graces and take them out to his mansion, which was
right
in the middle of a national park inside of Wisconsin. And they truly believed that he would come and get them, and they even started walking for miles after they you know, stabbed this girl, waiting for him to come and find them. I mean, they had journals and pictures and just went off the rails with this, believing that this urban legend was going to save them and make them happy and take them to a place where, you know, he takes all the children to protect them from pain and sorrow. And they honestly believe that this Slender Man exists, and that he is basically a modern day Pied Piper. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a very, very strange story all around, especially when you get into the fact that these girls had mental illness that actually made them believe that Slender Man wasn't real. And, you know, for them to make that sacrifice and then, you know, they thought, okay, we can just walk to his mansion, which was like a 5-hour drive. And it's like,
right,
how did
exactly
you plan on getting there? You know, like none of it makes sense.
Right. And I watched, they had a documentary about this case, and I watched the footage, and these girls were so calm. They thought that this was perfectly okay.
Yeah, that's another strange thing, is how calm they were. Is that they just thought, oh, okay, whatever. And then the one girl, I watched the documentary earlier today, and that is, it's a fascinating documentary about every aspect of this story, and it's also brutal to watch. It's hard to watch because you get
it
to see the families of the two girls, like what they're going through. And
right,
it's like, you know, how do you maintain a normal life after that? You don't.
Well, no, not when you're 12-year-old and your 13-year-old are in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, they were tried as adults and found found guilty and given adult sentences for this attempted murder.
65 years.
Yep.
Go ahead. Now, the one girl, Anissa, the thing that really struck me, she was much more calm than the other one, because you see the other girl, Morgan, she breaks down at one point during the interrogation,
right,
the initial interrogation. And then the other girl, Anissa, she was as calm as can be. I mean, you would have thought that she was just making breakfast or something. And
right, or you know, just chit-chatting about the weather. She was very, very stoic.
The other thing that really did crack me up about the Anissa girl, this was one thing that I did catch, and it really stunned me, is that she actually requested a cell with no windows.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, why would she request this thing with no windows? And she said, I've got all my friends in here with me. She was in a cell by herself.
Right. Well, she has imaginary friends.
Right.
Again, that made me question whether this girl is gifted and what she is seeing is spirit. I mean, that was one angle that I thought about upon watching this documentary, that maybe she is seeing these people. And maybe she's just very gifted.
That was one thing that did come up, at least a question in my mind, like, what if she is gifted and she actually can see them, or she does? But still, when you go and make a sacrifice or a decision to go and kill somebody, yikes. And that makes me think of schizophrenia, which they bring up in that documentary quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what they diagnosed her with schizophrenia, Anissa, they did. Morgan, no, was it Morgan? I can't remember, because you watched it today. Was it Morgan that did the stabbing, or was it Anissa that stabbed her?
Anissa.
Anissa stabbed her. And she,
yep.
I know they started out they were going to kill her in a rest stop bathroom. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and somehow, I think Anissa chickened out. And they ended up going out into this middle of the woods, and in the documentary, you can, you know, they do a reenactment, and Anissa is sitting on this little girl's chest, stabbing her, saying, "I'm sorry, I don't want to do this, you know, Slender Man is making me do this, and Morgan's making me do this."
Oh, yeah, and the other thing that really, during her confession, I guess,
mm-hmm.
the way she described it is, well, I had to make a sacrifice to Slender Man because he would take the pain away. And they were like, what was it like to stab the girl? And she said, actually, it was really light because I knew where to stab. It was like stabbing air. And it's like, oh, my God, what a description.
I know.
That is blood-curdling.
I know. It gave me the chills when I heard her say that. It was like, yeah, she said, you know, it was easy. She didn't feel anything. And, you
yeah,
know,
that's just bizarre.
Absolutely. I mean, this is an urban legend that has just taken off, all based on a you know, a video game and you know, a contest that a man just put this creature, this faceless creature, into, you know, photoshopped into a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I did some background on Slender Man just to find out what kind of history is out there. And, you know, he's an alleged paranormal figure. And according to the research I did, it's been in existence for centuries, covering a large geographical area. There are legends all over the world. There's one in Scotland where they call him the Dark Man. And the Dutch call him the Branch Man. And
really?
In Germany, the legend is Der Große Mann, or the Tall Man. There are instances and pictures where he has appendages coming off his back, and then there's, you know, like rope-like arms or tentacles. And then there are other, you know, depictions of this character where he does not have them. So, you know, I'm not sure if this legend is just, you know, metamorphosizing or what's going on with that. But there are historical
I was wondering about that, exactly what you just brought up. And if anybody listening doesn't know what the Slender Man looks like, just imagine like the Tall Man from the movie Phantasm with no face, or kind of like Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas, kind of like that. And
yeah,
it's
pure white face, no features,
uh-huh.
and wearing a suit and a tie.
Yeah. Hello.
But you there?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
A little technical difficulty.
Oh, yeah. When we're talking about Slenderman, maybe he doesn't want us talking about him.
Hey, right on. So, yeah, but the fact that it was just a story that kind of started out of nowhere that went viral is kind of amazing in and of itself, because it's like, okay, we'll say, you know, there's something like, you know, in the backstory is, well, I guess in that backstory, it's probably the wrong word, but there's no real beginning or end to it, like, as far as a goal. People have Slender Man as a good guy. There's a music video by the band POD called Beautiful, and it's a story about a little boy who finds these goggles, and when he puts the goggles on, he can see Slender Man, but Slender Man helps him. So the little boy is getting bullied by, you know, bigger kids at school, and all of a sudden Slender Man, who they can't see, beats the crap out of these bullies. And it was like, okay, if you can have
wow.
a guy who is, you know, or a character that is, you know, notorious for scaring people, but then somebody else can tell the story and he's a good guy. It's kind of like your own open-ended story to tell around a campfire.
Right. Absolutely.
And yeah,
I mean,
go ahead.
Children believe that he's a hero. And, you know, that.
Yeah.
And it's sad to think that children now think that this Slender Man, this legend is going to come and save them and take them to, you know, this magical mansion where they'll forever live immortal in peace.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that speaks a lot for you know, the state of our world right now, that the kids see this creature as a hero, you know, someone that they would openly go with without hesitation.
Okay, now, in all honesty, do you think it's an actual fictional character, or is there a chance that maybe there is something out there that is this Slender Man? Because I think it's complete fiction.
You know, how do any of the urban legends get started, and how do any of them get married? I mean, people believe that Mothman is real. I mean, who's to say this isn't, you know, this isn't, we haven't brought him into existence by talking about him.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. I mean, the world, we don't know, you know, everything about this universe and what the world is capable, what the universe is capable of bringing into it if you want it bad enough. I do have a 911 call here where these children are stating that Slender Man is outside of their house, and they're talking to a 911 operator. Now, I have not been able to validate that this is real, but it is rather frightening, and I'm going to see if it'll play for me. I had some trouble uploading it, but we're going to give it a shot. This is...
Okay.
7-minute 911 call from a couple of children that state that Slender Man has come to get them.
What is your emergency?
Someone followed me and my brother home from school. Our parents are not home.
Have you seen this person before?
No. Can you please send help?
Where are you now?
At home, in the bedroom. I'm looking out the front window. The tall man is scaring us.
Where is this guy?
In front of the house.
What is he doing?
He's standing behind a tree. He's very tall. Help us. I'm scared.
What was that?
I don't know. The lights went out. I'm scared.
Help is on the way.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
What's happening?
He's looking at me. He has no face. His face is gone.
Calm down. Does he have a mask on?
No. He's coming. He's coming.
Calm down. Help is on the way. As long as he's outside and you're inside, you'll be fine. Describe him to me.
He has a suit on and a tie. He's very tall. He has long arms. He's bald. I'm scared.
Be brave,
God.
Okay? I want you to be strong right now. It's going to be fine. I'm here with you.
Are you coming?
How's your brother doing?
He's not doing anything. He's acting strange.
What is he doing?
Staring. He's staring at me.
Is he scared?
No. He's not saying anything.
How old is he?
9.
What is the tall man doing now? What's the matter?
He's in front of the window, facing me.
Back away from the window, get your brother, go into the restroom, and lock the door. Young lady, are you okay? Hello? Are you there? Hello? Young lady, are you okay?
I'm fine now. I'm not scared anymore. The tall man just wants to play. He's my friend.
Where is he? They're with me now. They're safe. Who are you? She will be missed. Sir, please don't do this. I see you, operator. You're scared. I feel your worries. And your doubts. The one you called Sarah will be mine, too. How do you know my daughter's... How do you know my daughter's name? Goodbye. Hello? Hello? Fuck, I gotta get off.
We're still here. It continues.
911, what is your emergency?
Someone followed me and my brother home from school.
I think it's a tsunami from there.
Have you seen this person before?
So, again, we can't validate if that's a real 911 call, but that was provided to us. And it's creepy. And
it is really creepy. It gave me the shivers. And the fact that if that is true,
yeah,
that they're putting on that act, it's like, okay, you just killed somebody. It's like, whoa, okay, or tried to kill somebody. That's horrifying even more so. Because I was looking to find that call online, and I couldn't. So that's my first time hearing it. Yeah, that is eek. I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah, again, from the source that I have, they are telling me that this is a true 911 call, and they're not sure what happened to these children. When they got to the house, they weren't there. The front picture window was broken out, and the children were nowhere to be found, and they have not been found since.
Oh, that's not the two girls.
No. This is a girl and her brother. They called into 911.
Wow.
Yeah, and while speaking with the 911 operator, that they stated that this slender man was outside their house and somehow got in the house. Now, again, you know, I don't know if this is something that somebody made up or if this is real, but regardless, it's creepy to think that that could possibly have happened to these children. I mean, it to me, that's horrifying. When I heard that, again, like you, it gave me the chills.
Yeah.
There have been documented cases of Slender Man. Actually coming after people, and I'm trying to find that reference here. Right now. There was another woman that stated that when she was 10, they had moved into a new house, and she had heard some noises downstairs. She had taken her dog by the collar and went down in the stairs into the basement and was sitting on the stairs, and at the end of the room was this tall man, you know, with no face, and the dog took off and left her down there, and she, to this day, she's in her 30s and a mother, and she still swears that this happened to her, that this Slender Man was in her house looking at her.
Now, I've got a question for you, Rebecca. Instead of it being a Slender Man, do you think it could be something along the lines of, like, a shadow person?
There are theories that state that Slender Man comes from the same dimension as Shadow People. That, you know, that this is a portal that was opened up, and that this creature is basically a more evolved version of a shadow person.
Because there was the old radio show, George Norrie, it was at Coast to Coast AM, and I used to listen to it just as a joke before I knew about anything as far as the paranormal, supernatural, things like that. And I'd listen to people, and I went, oh yeah, shadow people, okay. And then you and I and Dan and the rest of the team were out on an investigation and saw one, and I went, okay, maybe this isn't complete nonsense. And
right.
I was reading and doing research about Slender Man. That was the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the other research I did on Slenderman is it seems to be connected to people with schizophrenia. That people that are schizophrenic actually have more likelihood of seeing Slenderman than someone that doesn't. That was some of the other research that I did. Yeah.
That's
and I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how that's related. Maybe they're, you know, we don't understand schizophrenia exactly. The way that schizophrenia is treated, you know, anybody that's a medium or anybody that's sensitive that says I talk to people in my head. I mean, if you had said that even, you know, 40 years ago, they would have locked you up. No question asked, you would have had schizophrenia. You know, you would have been in a mental hospital. You know, it's just recently that people have been, able to come out and talk about this without fear of being locked up. So,
wonder maybe if that illness, maybe the illness allows them to see it, and who knows? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't know that it was a common thing with schizophrenia.
Yeah, the research that I did stated that people with schizophrenia tend to have hallucinations, visions of shadow people, not only shadow people, but Slenderman, even black-eyed children. You know, this is something that they're trying to attribute to mental illness. And, you know, and then, and again, with Anise, in that case, that kind of confirms, you know, the possibility that, you know, maybe that is true. Maybe that either they're more open and they're seeing things we just can't see. Yeah, even on a higher level than a medium is capable of seeing. Maybe they're able to traverse, you know, the veil and actually go to the other side. Maybe that's why she felt that, you know, Slenderman, you know, was coming to get her. To her, he's real. He's as real as you or I. To her, he wasn't a make-believe creature. He's a real man.
Hmm. Wow. That definitely throws a new wrinkle into this story, because I didn't know that. And it's like, well, okay, that kind of changes my view on everything, because I thought, okay, Slenderman, it's just a fictitious character. Well, now getting your perspective on it really does kind of like, it changes things.
Yeah, you know, is it fiction or has, you know, did it start out as fiction? Have we brought this into reality? Is this something that we opened a doorway and let it in, and now, you know, the children are actually interacting with this thing. I mean, but, you know, again, there's historical references all the way back to 9000 BC. There's reference to a legend within cave paintings that were found in Cerro de Cabrera National Park in northeast Brazil, which are believed to date back as far as I said, 9000 BC. These paintings, cave paintings, show a strangely elongated man leading a child by the hand, and, you know, there's no other story to it. It's just this guy, this tall man, white face, long arms, long limbs, leading a child by their hand, and this is all the way back in 9000 BC. There are also, back in the 1883, there was a German artist named Hans Freckenberg who created at least two wood cutouts featuring a character that he described as Der Ritter, or the knight, during the 16th century. And these were discovered in Holzburg Castle in 1883. It seems that he was a well-known artist and created realistic depictions of human anatomy. And something that was unusual among the wood cutouts of the time was these pictures, which featured a skeletal, multi-limbed being. Historians are unsure of the exact symbolic nature of this character, and with some claiming that it is a personification of the religious wars that raged in Europe at the time. But looking back at it now, the historians are saying, well, this looks extremely close to the Slender Man character that we're seeing now. So, you know, who's to say that he hasn't existed since the beginning? You know,
now, are there any theories about what if it is true, what does he want with the kids? Does he use them, like, to kill them? Does he use their energy to keep himself alive? Does he save them?
There's different theories that he's actually saving them and taking them away before bad things happen to them. Taking them away from abusive situations, taking them to this mansion where they live forever and nothing bad ever happens. And, you know, that's what children believe. It's like the Pied Piper. It's like the Pied Piper myth that he's taking them away. And we, you know, as far as the Pied Piper, we don't know if he was good or bad, if he hurt these children, if he took them to a better place. But, you know, kind of part of the legend is that parents that are abusive to their children or not treating their children right, Slender Man will come and take them.
Okay. Now, has there ever been any, like, reported cases of a child that, say, was taken by Slender Man that actually came back? Like, is there any, like, validity to that, or is it just claim that and it's gone?
The theory is, if they're taken by Slender Man, they never come back.
Okay.
They're gone. They're gone forever. That, you know, they cease to exist in this realm. I mean, there was a case. Again, I wasn't able to verify this as being true. It was a source that was sent to me. But there was a case where a man was actually walking in the woods with his daughter. This is probably back 1913, around that time period. He was walking through the woods with his daughter, and they came upon a tall, slender man, no face. And they started to run from him, and everywhere they ran, he was in front of them. Eventually,
teleportation.
Eventually, you know, they got tired, and this slender man walked up to the father, pushed him down. And, you know, he was unconscious for, you know, what he stated in the story that I received, that he was unconscious for several seconds. I woke up and his daughter was walking off hand in hand with this thing. And he pulled, you know, he had had a revolver with him. He shot at it. It turned around, came and attacked him. And the little girl said, you know, Daddy, it's okay. I want to go with him. You need to leave it alone. You need to let us go. And he spent the rest of his life trying to find her and was never able to locate her. Doesn't know, you know, what happened to her, but he said that she did walk off with a man. He said one of the things about him is that he was, like, staticky. It was like he was playing on a bad television set, and every once in a while he'd shake, and there'd be static. And so, you know, he wasn't even sure, you know, if it was fully in this dimension, or, you know, if this was some kind of manifestation that was just partially here. But he said it looked wobbly, is the way he described it. Like it would come in and out of focus.
Now, was it stated in the story if he actually saw them disappear, or did they just, I don't know, he couldn't catch up to them, anything like that?
No, what happened is his daughter told him that if he followed them, the Slender Man would kill him. So he just watched them walk off, and he didn't, you know, he made no attempt to follow. Now, again, could have been a cover for, you know, something that he did to her. But the fact that he mentioned in this story from 1913, before this was even, a thought in the creator's mind that made this character, that the fact that he described it that exact way, as having no face, being tall, slender, dressed in black, in black and white, it lends some credence to the fact that this may have been something that has been around far longer than we first anticipated. And who's to know, that the creator of that, that meme, for lack of a better word, hadn't seen this creature.
I don't know if you stated it or not. Did it say where that happened?
It was in Germany.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking it up now.
I don't know if you'll be able to find it, but yeah, I can send it to you later.
Okay.
So there are two major types of Slenderman descriptions in existence. The original version depicts him not only as being malevolent, but also extremely dangerous. He would do odd things such as remove organs and place them in bags, impale targets on trees. I think this is more from the video game, I watched a bit of the video game. Aggressively stalking targets after a period of time. And the more contemporary depictions show Slenderman as being extremely passive-aggressive, often letting a person slowly delve into madness at their situation until they're unable to cope, which is kind of what happened to this girl.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and it states that he will typically charge down a target if he was challenged, he would charge down the target and then vanish with them into the unknown. There's also, in this version, there's an odd response to electronic equipment and causes some massive problems with audio, surveillance cameras, and other various electronic devices with displays and/or audio. And some of the encounters, sometimes an individual can determine if he's near somebody by how certain electronics react, such as radios, televisions, and cameras. Again, that's the static. Siri, and the one that created the meme or the picture, his last name was Knutson. And in an interview, you read about him, with the Slenderman fan site, he states the Slenderman is an accelerated version of an urban legend, that the legend has accelerated all the way up to film, where the Slenderman has become the focus of, web shorts, but YouTube series, two full-length films. One is entitled Slenderman, and, it was an indie film. And he's just amazed to the degree that this is taken off based on a picture on something awful that he created to win a contest back in June of 2009.
Well, I also did see that the Eric Knudsen, that he owns the trademark to Slenderman, and that kind of confused me, and it made me think that it was fiction overall, but now hearing much more of the backstory from you that I wasn't aware of, okay, well, I could kind of see some of this stuff.
Right,
at least being a possibility.
Right, exactly. I mean, he created it purely as fiction, but according to the research I've done, this character, this creature, has been described, like I said, all the way back to 9000 BC. So who's to say that this wasn't something that he saw and doesn't remember seeing, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Something that was in his subconscious that he added to these pictures because he had actually seen it and just doesn't remember seeing it.
Hmm. Yeah. I didn't even think of that aspect either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, if he just made it up and then, maybe he knew it and just it seeped its way into his mind, like you were saying. And then it just came out, but it was actually... it was a real thing for quite a long time.
Yeah, there's another case that I received some information on that happened back July 12th in 1987. The police were called to the Elkins residence in Sterling by Mr. Elkins, who had reported that his 8-year-old daughter, Katrina, had gone missing. Now, the only possible witness to the disappearance was Katrina's 10-year-old sister, Alice, with whom she shared a bedroom. Sergeant William Holm reported that the last time Alice saw her sister, she was outside their window hugging the tall man. And according to further statements by Alice, over the previous weeks, a man had been coming to the girl's bedroom window at night, where he would tap on the glass, make faces, and watch the girls. However, police investigators initially dismissed the account as a dream, as a bedroom window, there were houses on the second story with no support beneath it. So, yeah. Alice Elkins, who is the older sister, reported that on the night of her sister's disappearance, they were again awakened by a tapping on the glass. She heard her sister get out of bed, had a short conversation, and when she didn't hear her sister get back into bed after several minutes, she went up to the window, and she saw her sister in the side yard hugging the tall man again. And according to the witness, the man looked at her grinning. Well, this one obviously had a face. And indicated that she was to come down as well, and he reached an arm out to her. And it was at this point that Alice became extremely frightened and returned to bed. The tapping continued for several more minutes before it finally ceased. As of right now, Alice's body was never found, and there have been no charges brought against her family or anyone else regarding the case. That she just is gone.
Now, are there any accounts of like adults encountering the Slender Man?
Only that one in Germany, where the father.
Right.
That's the only account of an adult having an encounter with him that I could find.
Okay, I was just wondering more like any abductions or anything like that.
No, he just, according to legend, he only goes after children. And
well,
I mean, I don't know if you've seen the video game.
I saw little snippets on YouTube.
Creepy. I mean, basically,
I don't know.
You walk
around and collect like papers and stuff like that.
Mhm. Yeah, and eventually you run into Slender Man and he takes you. It's a creepy game. I couldn't get all the way through it. I got scared. I don't know if you have any other research that you did that you'd like to bring to light about this legend.
No, the only thing that I really it gets compared to a lot of different things as far as like the boogeyman, Bloody
Mary.
There's a couple of them in here that I couldn't find a lot on, like Gilert. I couldn't find anything on that, but there's about 10 or 12 things in here. And actually he's compared to the Men in Black, like the Will Smith movie. And I thought, okay, that's different, but it kind of does make a little bit of sense. People that just, they're not really there, or they have the ability to disappear.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It is one of those things that's unexplained, like any other legend, urban legend, Mothman, like I said, you know, cryptozoologists, we can't get concrete proof. We have hearsay.
Yeah.
And we have speculation. And we have a generation of children who are worshiping the boogeyman.
So if it's worshiping somebody like the boogeyman, so to speak, is it when they start to worship him, do you think, that that's what gives him the ability to be drawn in? Into their life?
I think so. I do. I think that possibly to some extent that they willed this creature either into existence or back into existence, because again, there was talk of in stories back, you know, as even he was even showing up in, you know, Egyptian you know, what do they call those things?
Pyramids? Or tombs?
The things they put up on the wall. Can't pronounce the word. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, he was actually depicted on hieroglyphics back, in Egypt, I think.
Yeah, I saw that in the, there's a little blurb on that in that documentary.
Yeah. So, you know, who's to say that, you know, far-fetched as this might sound, even being an alien, or maybe who's to say there's not more than one?
Well, it sounds like there's more than one, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because there's different depictions from who's ever telling the story or, you know, some of the photos I'm sure are Photoshopped, but the people who actually, you know, they're like, no, I saw it. I'm telling you, I saw it. And there's always little variances to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. And, you know, I wish there was more concrete proof, but the thing that is the most terrifying about this for me is that two 12-year-old girls went to the extreme of trying to murder their best friend based on a legend a creepypasta story that they heard. What gave this so much power, you know, that these, you know, of course these girls are kind of outsiders, they're kind of loners, and, you know, but they were best friends, they had each other's backs, and then, you know, to attack Peyton and stab her 19 times and just leave her for dead.
And the other thing that I found really strange about the when they were doing interviews with the two girls who committed the crime is they both said, yeah, and we're going to be best friends forever. So, you know, they'll never see each other again. And it was like the pictures they drew were like of them, and it was like hearts, and then like by the ones holding a big knife, and it was like, oh man, this is all over. You know, it was just really strange.
Yeah, I mean, these girls won't get out of prison until they're 25 years old. Quite honestly, I don't think it's a niece, right?
Niece,
is that how her name is pronounced? Yeah, I don't think she should get out at all, honestly.
I don't think so either. I think the other one showed a little bit of compassion and sympathy and remorse for what she did, and that she knows that she should have stopped Anise from doing this.
She kind of waffled back and forth. I mean, Anise made it sound like it was all, you know, Morgan's idea. And then, you know, Morgan was like, it was all Anise's idea. And, you know, I don't know if they hadn't been together feeding off each other, if they'd even have gone through with this, you know.
Well, the other thing that was really creepy was, you know, they had it all planned out. And Morgan said that Anise said, you tell me when to do it and I'll do it. And they were out in the woods, and she Morgan turned around, walked about 5 feet and just yelled, now. And then Anise just did it. And it was like, oh, God, that's grisly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this started at a sleepover, I believe, in one of the suspects' home the night before. The girls had discovered the Slender Man on the Creepypasta wiki site, and the girls at the time claimed to believe the Slender Man was real, and that he wanted them to become their he wanted them to become his proxies or followers. And Morgan felt to prove their loyalty to him, to prove his existence and prevent him from harming their families, because they honestly believed that Slender Man was going to murder their families. The two accused girls believed that the only way they could become the proxies was to murder someone. And they settled on Peyton. They believed that after they carried out the killing, they would become servants of Slender Man and be allowed to live in his mansion, which they believed was in the Nicolet National Forest. And as you said, they weren't going to walk all that way. That was like a 5-hour drive.
Right.
They initially,
well, one question
according...
for you as far as your
sure.
Sorry to interrupt. One question for you as far as your research, because every photo that I've ever seen of Slenderman, he's basically in like a men's black suit and tie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that always the case, or is it just a black form?
No, it's always white face, black suit, white shirt, red tie. Always.
Hmm.
Back in the cave drawings, it was just basically, they're obviously very roughly drawn, their cave drawing, you know. But you could tell he had the appendages coming off his back in those pictures, the tendrils, the extra arms.
Hmm. Yeah,
I did see
some of that.
Yeah, no face. So yeah, he's always appeared to be the same look the same way throughout centuries.
I'm wondering if they modified, this kind of just a weird thought, if they modified his outfit throughout time to kind of like match the times. I don't know why that popped in my head.
Well, they stated that, you know, that's a possibility that Slenderman has been, you know, with us through the ages, and he changes his look a little bit every time. To fit the time. Who knows? I mean, it's just too odd, you know, not to consider as a possibility. And you know, I just kind of, I'm glad these girls, unfortunately, are safely put away for right now until they can get the proper help that they need to get better.
And the fact that the girl that was attacked is still alive. She survived that.
Yeah, she's got to be having some issues. But yeah, she went back to school the next year, so and she's doing fine.
Wow.
Yeah, she doesn't want to talk about it. She won't even discuss it. She wouldn't even be involved in the documentary.
Yeah, that was one thing that surprised me, was the girl who was attacked. They only show, like, I think it's one or two photos of her, and that's really it. And it was like, okay, you know, let's see her, at least get her parents' perspective on everything. And they weren't involved.
Yeah, but they wanted nothing to do with it, nothing at all. They didn't want to glorify this in any way.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah,
it's definitely understandable from their perspective.
And on a closing note, you know, that this is one thing that I found interesting. This was by the police chief, Russell Jack of Waukesha Police Department. And this is what he stated that I found interesting. He said the stabbing resulted in extensive debate about the role of the Internet in society and its impact on children. This should be a wake-up call for all parents, adding that the Internet is full of information and wonderful sites that teach and entertain, but it's also full of dark and wicked things. And there was a retired FBI agent that argued that the Internet has become a black hole with the ability to expose children to a more sinister world than ever before. He further stated that the best way to avoid future incidents parents to keep track of their children's web habits and to educate them on the differences between right and wrong. And I have to believe and support that creepypasta is, in my opinion, not for children. But there's also a assistant professor, her name is Shira Chess. She works with the Mass Media Arts Department of University of Georgia at the State of Creepypasta. It is no more dangerous than stories about vampires and zombies. She argued that creepypasta websites are beneficial and that they give people an opportunity to become better writers. I just don't think our children need any more darkness than they already have in their lives. And I think it should be a wake-up call to parents that, you know what your children are doing. Pay attention to them because they believe this stuff to be real.
Yeah, and it's... The father of one of the two girls that's now incarcerated, they also have a young son that's going into fifth grade, and it's mandatory that they have to have an iPad at that school to do and complete homework and assignments and whatever. And the thing that got those girls initially into finding Slenderman was they got an iPad for one of the girls for Christmas, and she was just absolutely obsessed. And it's like, he's like, what do I do? I've got a son now, and the thing that put my daughter away and it caused this horrid event, my son, it's mandatory for him to use. And he's like, I'm torn. And it's completely understandable.
Terrifying. You know, that's got to be terrifying. I felt so bad for that family. I hope that, you know, this discussion tonight will get people a little bit more interested in paying attention to what their children are watching, what their children are playing online. Because, you know, it can go awry really fast. And, you know, just be careful of what you let your children watch, even paranormal shows, be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of The Paranormal Fringe. Next week, we're going to have on, exciting as this is, the gentleman that he was on Ghost Adventures. He was a child at the time of the Manson murders, and he's going to be on our show next week to talk about his experiences with the Sharon Tate case, with the activity in the house that he lives in now. And we're going to get a chance to talk to him about the amazing story that he has in relation to the Manson family and the Sharon Tate case. So make sure you join us next Sunday. Ryan and I will be here, as always, on the Paranormal Fringe. Everybody have a great evening, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.